More Idaho Matters right now. We're going to turn from Donald Trump's legal woes and how he may be impacting the Constitution and look at his current run for another term as president. Now, this week marks the first debate of candidates running for president in 2024. And we do know that Mike Pence, Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, and Chris Christie will likely be there. But it looks like Donald Trump, well, he may not be. Our Morning Edition host, George Prentice, sat down with Sam Martin, the Frank and Bethian Church Chair of Public Affairs in the School of Public Service at Boise State University, to find out what this means. Let's take a listen.
What will you be looking for or listening for Wednesday evening?
Well, so the biggest thing that I think almost everyone will be listening for is, will there be any conversation that extends past the former president and his role in the campaign, and how much will the candidates that are on stage, how much will Ron DeSantis, Tim Scott, Nikki Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy, how much will they punch at Donald Trump and the challenges he faces, and how much will they continue to offer him praise and support despite the fact that he leads the field and appears to be the front runner? Because there's sort of two ways to look at Trump's decision at this point, at least, to not participate in the debate. On the one hand, it's easy to argue from a political standpoint that he has little to gain and a lot to lose. He just runs the risk of getting blasted or having questions come that are hard to answer, or giving people the opportunity to say things that turn into fine sound bites. But on the other hand, as Republicans continue to put up with his refusal to participate in really what amounts to our democratic process and our campaign process, another norm that he continues to break, refusing to show up for debates, refusing to stand toe-to-toe with his contenders. You know, these norms, these breakdowns are at the heart of the disintegrating system. And so it's really interesting, or interesting is really the nicest word you can give it. It's concerning that he remains with, you know, more than 50% of Republican primary voters supporting him, despite these serious allegations against him. And I would argue even more, despite the fact that he is running a campaign that is outside of what we normally look at as the way campaigns work and how candidates are supposed to be accountable to one another and ultimately accountable to the people, and not only just their supporters or not only those venues in which they really want to appear.
To your point on where those votes might come from in a general election, is it fair to say that the Republicans are losing ground on independents? When we look at the 2022 midterms, they lost a fair amount of independents on the issue of abortion.
I think what you're pointing to is the sort of dual problem in American politics right now between strong party identification and negative partisanship, which is to say that even though many people will say they are independents, they claim to be independents, especially at the presidential level, our research shows that people trend toward, they're really looking for a candidate on one side or the other. And so I might say that I'm an independent, but almost every time, or every single time, if you look back over the last six or seven elections, I voted for the Republican or I voted for the Democrat. So my labeling myself an independent is ultimately meaningless because I'm not really up for grabs. But that couples with this idea that when it comes to policies, there are some policies that have some salience that appear, and abortion turns out to be one of them, that will grab a constituency and cause them to shift and look. And when it comes to Republicans, there are two things that have happened with a very important constituency since the emergence of Trump. And that is that women, and perhaps especially affluent women, are really taking note, suburban women, of the ways that the Republican Party has talked about and framed the role of women in the world and their bodies. And that began with the Access Hollywood tape and the Me Too movement. And then that just led right into the overturning of Roe and the efforts with abortion. And so there's a way in which what has happened with abortion, you could trace it all the way back. And that group of women, that was a constituency of people who were very likely to say they were independent, but perhaps had been voting for Republicans. And all of a sudden, they turned up and voted for Democrats. And once you vote, once a person votes outside of the lane that they had typically been in, it becomes more likely that they'll be more willing to do that. And so that's the risk that Republicans run.
Let's talk for a few minutes about Idaho and the Idaho Republican Party, which it appears is doing everything possible to get candidates to come here. if not for the vote, then for fundraising. This is a pretty important fundraising state for Republicans, yes?
Yeah, it's a really important fundraising state for Republicans. And it's easy. The Mountain West, Idaho, we certainly qualify as where what people think of as flyover country.
Right.
And, you know, you can fit the whole state of Idaho into the city of Chicago, right? Or into lots of cities. And so it's easy to get a chip on our shoulder and think, hey, nobody cares about us, but we're really important because, and we point out, like, we donate a lot of money to especially GOP politics, but the only opportunity to really get any attention at the national level is going to be during the primary season because of what I just talked about, which is that it's Idaho is really not going to be a state in play. And so, you know, the Republican Party is putting these rules into place to try to, you know, sort of like half off to be on the ballot if you will come and have a
right. They're requiring a certain fee to be on the ballot, but they're willing to waive a good chunk of that fee if you come here.
Right. And, you know, the Frank Church Institute actually did a poll a couple of years ago, and it showed that it's actually like there's a way in which I'm glad to see the Republicans doing that, because it showed that, you know, it's perhaps not surprising, but it does reinforce the frustration that citizens feel, which is, you know, the Institute did a poll and it showed that citizens in the Mountain West, citizens across the Mountain West in states like Idaho, Montana, Utah, Nevada, they feel like the federal government doesn't care about them and that the government doesn't understand them. And so if those candidates would come here, it's healthy for our democracy. And so to think about everything that I've been talking about, if we could go back and look at the idea that we have to have a democratic process that people participate in and that people trust, the only way that can work is if candidates come and talk to the people on the ground, even if they think their vote is a foregone conclusion. And so I'm glad to see the Republicans doing this, even if it feels a little bit hokey if you look at it through the wrong lens.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Want to learn how to be a master of business without going back to school? Listen to the Planet Money MBA. No suits, no PowerPoints, just the secrets of business school delivered straight to your ears. Every Wednesday till Labor Day on Planet Money from NPR.